In the prologue to Samina Ali's first novel, Madras on Rainy Days, we meet Layla, a young Muslim woman who has been living half the year in the United States and the other half in India. She's locked herself in a room in her father's house in Hyderabad because she doesn't wish to go through with an arranged marriage. In the pages that follow, her story twists and turns like a Mobius strip. Themes of love, class, sex, family, religion, politics, and relationships between men and women reflect many of the circumstances of the author's life. Samina Ali was born in Hyderabad and raised both there and in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. She also was forced by her parents into an arranged marriage. Ali now lives in San Francisco. When she spoke with us from the studios of member station KQED, Samina Ali explained the contrast between the reality of an arranged marriage and how marriage is portrayed to a Muslim girl growing up in India.
You believe, because your parents tell you, your mother and other women tell you, when you get married, you will have this beautiful life, you will have this beautiful husband, you will get all of these things. And so a woman really looks forward to her wedding, and it's actually the only thing she looks forward to, marriage and kids. And I don't think in the end that it affords her more freedom. And in fact, it probably imprisons her more, because suddenly she's in her husband's house, she's living with her in-laws. Remember, we're not talking about America, where people get married, the couple goes off and lives on their own. In India, you move in to your in-laws' house. You live within the family, the extended family. And in that family, she has a role. And she's a daughter-in-law, she's a wife, she becomes a mother. And it's all about fulfilling those roles.
It seems to be then sort of almost not quite propaganda, but the idea that a lot of the women in this novel, when they get together with Layla, they do say, well, you know, now you can go out in a car, you can walk with a man outside. Mm-hmm. I mean, these little things that I think certainly women in America take for granted.
No, it's very true.
Is it the wife-whore dichotomy? You know, you're either a wife or you're a whore?
It's the virgin whore dichotomy, especially within the Muslim community, because you are expected to be a virgin when you're married. You are not allowed to date. It's one of the reasons why arranged marriage is there in the first place, because you don't meet men outside of the family. You're not exposed to them. And Layla is. And so, yes, definitely, if you are not a virgin, because they do the white sheet test on the wedding night till this day.
It's interesting to read about the Muslim community in India because of the relationship with the Hindu community in India. And the Muslim population is the one that is, according to every character that you bring up in the book, being persecuted. In fact, you have the uncle that decries the discrimination. The Hindus are trying to erase us. You give us the fact that you think most of the Hindus in the Bollywood movies are actually Muslim. Do the political tensions between those two communities affect the family relationships that you've written about, and perhaps in your own experience?
Growing up, I remember we used to go back annually. And I have been through military curfews, and I have been through so many different types of terrifying experiences. And the scene in this novel that happens once when Layla has been married, toward the end of the novel, where a stranger comes to the in-laws' house and says, a Hindu gang is coming to your house because you, as a Muslim family, are isolated within a Hindu-dominated neighborhood, and you guys need to stay protected. That did actually happen to me. And it was a terrifying, terrifying night where the men did go up onto the roof and wait for the Hindu gang to come. And my mother-in-law, my then mother-in-law, and I locked ourselves in the bedroom and waited. And it's something that affects the communities usually when there is something political going on. And I think that's the problem when religion becomes politicized in the way it has.
The characters in the book will talk about going to America and coming back to India. You were born in India, you want to die in India, but life does not happen in India. Birth and death occur in India, but not life, I think, is what one of your characters say. How were you able to leave?
It was the most difficult journey of my life. It was so much easier to just do everything that was expected of me to do. So much easier. A lot of people say, well, someone who grows up in America, someone who's been influenced by American culture would never go back and get into an arranged marriage. Well, there are a lot of people, there are thousands of people who are influenced by American culture and still go back and get into arranged marriages. And it's about parental expectation and societal expectation. One of the things that I talk about in this book is how Muslims, I differentiate Islam from Muslim culture. And the Muslims in this book are really problematic. The father who divorces his first wife, Samir, who's gay, and he says he's a lapsed Muslim. Mm-hmm. There is nobody in this book who is really following Islam. Everybody is sort of following what they interpret to be Islam, and they're following it erroneously. So what happened when I came back to America, I ended up being forced to bring my ex-husband with me. He wasn't my ex-husband at the time. I was still married to him. Because when I did confront my relatives, in much the same way that Layla goes back and goes to her uncle and goes to her aunts and says, help me, we haven't consummated the marriage and this is why my husband is in love with another man. They deny this. And they deny her right as a Muslim woman to leave the marriage. And the same thing happened to me where I was denied that right, so I had to bring him back to America. At that point, when we had, I think it was the year review at the INS to do his green card, and they were going to ask me, they separated us into two rooms, and the INS investigator asked me, is this a marriage, you know, they were going to interview me in order to give him the permanent green card. And it was at that point, behind my parents' back, because my parents refused to believe what was happening in our marriage. The Muslim community in which I had grown up in Minneapolis absolutely refused to believe what was happening to me. Everyone ended up calling me the whore, and that's where you had the virgin whore dynamic again. And they said that indeed it was because I was in love with some American man and wanted to leave a perfectly good Muslim husband and this and that. So no one was helping me, and in fact, they were terrorizing me to stay in. So when I went to the INS, it was really my only way. And when she asked me, is this person really your husband? And that's when I finally came out and said, my God, no, you have to help me get out. And then with her in secret, even though I was living with my parents and my husband in secret, I had to carry on with my life, keep going to university. And I was taking a full load so as not to let anyone be suspicious of what was happening. And then on the side, I actually took three jobs in order to pay for my immigration lawyer and a divorce lawyer. And when he ended up finding out what was happening, then he just went crazy. And then it became, and even then, even when he was threatening to kill me, even when he was threatening to do all of these things, even then, my parents continued to insist I stay with him, and the community continued to insist I stay with him. And it really is the demonization of the woman.
Is your family aware of the book? Has there been any reaction to it?
They are aware of the book. They know I've written the book. And, you know, and it's been about 13 years since that marriage. And even though they still wonder, my mother till this day still wonders what may have happened in the marriage, because I think it's complicated because they probably feel guilty along with feeling doubtful of what happened. They, at this point, I think, see why I had to write it. The way I explained it to them is because no one believed me, because everyone asked for proof. How can you give proof that your husband is not having sex with you? How can you give proof that your husband actually is in love with other men? There is no way to give proof. So when I couldn't come up with proof, then they demanded I stay in the marriage. And so when I started writing this book, it was a really long process of having to unlearn all of the shame and having to unlearn the, you know, having to stop believing what others told me and externalizing everything I had internalized about me being the one to blame And so I finally explained to them, this is finally me telling the world what happened, because no one believed me when it happened.
Samina Ali, her debut novel is called Madras on Rainy Days. It's published by Farrar, Straus & Giroux. She joined us from member station KQED in San Francisco. Good luck with this. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Leanne.